It's time for Taylor Talk, the number one Taylor Swift podcast brought to you by the fan site, TaylorSwift13.org. Welcome to episode 46 of Taylor Talk, everybody. This is Adam.
Belle.
Diane.
And Haley.
Hey, ladies.
Hi.
What's up?
It's good to be back, as you know. Well, the rumors are true. I did, in fact, miss last week to attend a Justin Bieber concert.
No, and that wasn't fair.
Yeah, I'm not jealous. The one, sorry.
Still better you than me. I'm seconding that.
I was going to ask you, how was the concert?
Justin is, well, he's very pretty.
Really?
And he really needs to pull his pants up.
I heard he also took his shirt off at the concert. Was that true?
He did take his shirt off, and it was driving me nuts. He was teasing throughout the show, like, let me take my jacket off a little bit, and then put it back on. And then finally, at the end of the show, he took his shirt off completely, and all the girls are like, ah!
Except by 10 billion people.
Be honest with us. You were joining them.
No, I actually, you want to know a funny story? I had, what are they called? Do they still call them ushers, the people that take you to your seat? You give them the ticket, they show you where your seat is?
I think
Yeah, but they're more like bodyguards. I mean, like security people.
Well, I call him an usher. Anyway, it was this old guy, and he was standing outside the doors, and I was like, I think I'm going to hang out here with you when they all start screaming. And he's like, you want some earplugs? And he gave me his earplugs. It was a very sweet gesture. I never even got his name. I would love to give him a shout out right now.
To the usher guy who gave him earplugs.
Thank you. I am not
deaf. Did they come out of his ear?
What?
Did they come out of his ear?
No, they were a fresh pack. They did not come from his ears. But really, I just wanted to take a brief minute to compare Justin's concert versus Taylor's. And in a nutshell, Taylor's are better. Surprise, surprise, right? I'm giving everyone a moment to like scream and get on my case right now. Don't get me wrong, though. Justin's show was very well done. Something he definitely does better is he can dance.
Taylor dances great. She just awkward dances.
So Justin Bieber doesn't awkward dance.
He doesn't awkward dance. He really dances. He really dances. And he did some really cool things. One thing I would like to see Taylor do that he did was at the beginning of the show, he sort of, I don't know how to word this without making him sound arrogant, but he pays respect to the Justin of past years. And he sings, it's almost like, it's not even a medley really, but he sings little bits of old songs that he's not going to be doing on this tour that he did on past tours. And I think it would be really cool if Taylor put something together like that, where she sang some of the old songs briefly.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I thought it would be cool.
That'd be cool. Taylor's Greatest Hits segment.
Yeah, almost something like that. I thought it would be cool. But, I mean, let's move on with the episode. This isn't Justin talk, it's Taylor talk. So, I just wanted to follow up to something. I did listen to your all-girls episode, and thank you for making fun of me once again. It was quite rude.
It's what we do best.
But yeah, it was all in love, Adam.
Yeah, it was all in fun.
So sweet. But somebody submitted something to the mini-segments that you guys read about wanting a Taylor Talk app or something so they could listen to Taylor Talk on their smartphone. And to follow up to that, we don't have our own app, but there is a podcasts app that was developed by Apple, and you can subscribe to Taylor Talk and listen to Taylor Talk and do all of that in the podcasts app. So check out the iTunes store for that. And then something else that's kind of cool is Courtney texted us, because, you know, you can text Taylor Talk now. And notice something interesting that I wanted to share is she tried searching Taylor Swift on the Kindle store and realized that there are 13 pages of results.
Oh, hey.
Sweet.
13. But, yeah, enough about me blabbering. Diane, can you give us the upcoming calendar, please?
I will do that. Okay, on February 5th, Tim McGraw's album Two Lanes of Freedom will be released. And the 13th track, entitled Highway Don't Care, features Taylor Swift and Keith Urban. I think it's pretty cool that Tim McGraw gave Taylor the 13th track. It was very considerate of him.
That was very probably on purpose and for a good reason.
Yeah, definitely. On February 10th, Taylor Swift will be performing at the 55th Grammy Awards. This is a big night for Taylor, as she also has 3 Grammy nominations for Record of the Year for We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together, Best Country Duo Group Performance, and Best Song Written for Visual Media, and that's both for Safe and Sound. And the Grammys will air on CBS on February 10th at 8, 7 Central. And finally, on February 20th, Taylor is nominated for the Brit Awards 2013 as the International Female Artist. So good luck to Taylor for that one.
Woohoo!
Thanks, Diane!
You're welcome!
Belle and Haley, give us the news!
Well, Taylor Swift got to carry home another award for her collection, the People's Choice Award in 2013 for Favorite Country Artist. Yay!
Go, yay! Taylor! Go, Taylor!
You can watch a video of Taylor accepting her award and Adam Levine calling her out for being super charming in this week's episode guide.
So, Belle, I heard you went to the People's Choice Awards. Is that true?
I did go to the People's Choice Awards, and they were awesome. I got a hug from Taylor.
What?
What?
Okay, you need to tell us the story of how this happened.
All right. So, I got to the place that we were supposed to, you know, get to at around 2. And we were waiting in line, and this guy came around and started giving, like, not everybody that was even there, just a handful of us, these red bracelets. And we're like, oh, what are these for? And he's like, yeah, you guys can just go to the red carpet. So we were like, thanks! So we ended up getting taken to the red carpet, and we were put on these bleachers right at the red carpet. We just kind of hung out there for, like, basically 2 hours before the whole thing began, and we had to watch them set up everything up. And, you know, then they were announcing stars and whatnot, and people were coming over. And, I also got to hug Jensen Ackles.
Who?
He plays Dean on Supernatural. Gorgeous.
Oh, wait. Is that the guy from Gilmore Girls?
I have no idea.
Is he the long-haired one or the short-haired one?
He's the one that plays the older brother on Supernatural.
Long hair or short hair?
Short-ish hair.
Okay, never mind.
The darker hair is, that's Jared Padalecki.
Okay.
He was, like, there, but he didn't come over to us, so we didn't get to see him. But, him. And, we saw the Hunger Games cast. That was awesome. But, anyways, Taylor started. They announced Taylor, and she started walking down, and so, of course, we're all screaming for Taylor. And she runs right over to us and gives a handful of us hugs. It was really nice.
Oh.
Sounds magical.
She was adorable. Aww, she looked Taylor. Really pretty in her dress. I thought she looked really grown up. I thought it was a really nice look for her.
It was.
And the awards were absolutely hilarious. I was sitting stage right. And did you guys actually watch them?
I watched part of them.
Did you see Jennifer Lawrence getting her award?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Please tell me that you know exactly what I'm about to say. She gets up for her award and she's like, man, I wish this was like Mean Girls.
Mean Girls?
I could just break this award up and throw it at all of you.
Oh, I love that part. I immediately thought of
I'm
you,
like,
though.
We need to be best friends right now. But yeah, so it was actually really fun being able to do that. So I'm happy that I went. And it was pretty cool getting red carpet access when that's not exactly easy to do. And not something that I was expecting to do just by going. So that was really cool.
That is really cool. You're right. I hate you. Just to put it blunt.
And lovely. Here's the my favorite thing about getting the Taylor hug was that the first time that I ever met and hugged her was 5 years ago this month.
Oh, awesome.
So it was kind of like an anniversary hug.
I'm sure that's exactly what Taylor was thinking. She's like, oh, there's Belle. I hugged her 5 years ago. Let me go give her an anniversary hug.
Well, you know, Taylor remembers everything. So I wouldn't put it past her.
Of course, of course.
When I said anniversary hug, that was not supposed to sound nearly as creepy as it ended up sounding. I just want to clarify that. The point is, it just meant something to me because I first met her 5 years ago, and it's been a great journey being a Swiftie.
Aww. Thanks for sharing that story, Belle. Let's continue with the news.
So The Moment I Knew is now available on iTunes, which actually doesn't surprise me because it's an amazing song and the fans have responded so well to it. Previously, it was only on the Target exclusive edition of Red, so now it's on iTunes. Now you can go buy it if you don't already have it. Yay. If you haven't heard it, then you're slacking and you need to hear it.
If you haven't heard it yet, this episode's going to make no sense to you at all.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Alright, so Taylor tweeted that she's back in the studio, so let's hope that we don't have to wait 2 years to find out what that song she was working on was.
Can I say one thing?
And, sure, go ahead.
That tweet was amazing, and it made me laugh so much. The exact tweet was, back in the studio. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Oh, SpaghettiOs.
I want to know what she means, and I really don't want to wait 2 years to find out.
Yeah, I hope that we get to find out what the uh-oh is that she's working on before 2 years, because that would be
I'm willing to bet it means somebody is in big trouble.
Somebody's in trouble! Trouble, okay.
Trouble.
Okay, anyway.
All right, and so the Golden Globes were tonight, January 13th, and unfortunately, the award for original song went to Adele for Skyfall, but it's totally okay because it was still a great honor for her to be nominated for Safe and Sound, and she's got a whole bunch more awards coming this year.
Taylor looked so sad when she didn't win them.
I would be sad too, and I think Taylor probably thought, oh, it's January 13th, of course I'm going to win.
Yeah, and maybe. It didn't happen. I think, yeah. You know, plus it's like, she's a musician, she's not really an actor, so being nominated for a Globe or an Oscar, which, I mean, obviously she's not for an Oscar, but, you know, any of those type awards is, like, not an experience that she's going to get to have often at all in her life. So I'm sure she was probably hopeful that she would have that award, because, you know, well, chances are that she might not get nominated for one again.
But, I mean, she still has a long career ahead of her. You know, so I think, I mean, she could have another chance to be nominated for a Golden Globe again.
That's true. Well,
definitely.
Yeah. I'm sure she'll surprise us with things to come.
She always does. All right, so our first mini-segment, You Know Your Swiftie When, / If Swifties Ruled the World. The first one comes from Mara, or Mara? How do you think you say that? M-A-R-A, on Facebook. I think
probably Mara.
I would think so, too.
I think Mara.
What?
Mara.
Mara?
Sarah.
I think Mara.
It looks like kind of Sarah, but with an M, so Mara.
That's good logic, Haley.
Okay, so Mara or Mara from Facebook says, you know you're Swiftie when you do whatever it takes to get to one or more of Taylor's concerts! !!
I agree with you. I am working my butt off to make a bunch of money so that I can travel.
My hand is totally raised.
Me too. So the second one is, you know you're a Swiftie when you want to have a cat just as awesome as Meredith. And that was submitted by TayTaySwift1317 on Twitter.
Do you know what's funny is I was having a debate last night with some friends that I was hanging out with, and the debate was whether or not Meredith is the most famous cat on the planet.
I think she is. Can you think of a more famous cat?
Well, apparently they both disagreed with me. They're talking about all these YouTube cats that I've never heard of.
Okay, like there's Grumpy Cat, but I think Grumpy Cat's a fad.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think we should start a poll. We need to put a poll up on the website. Is Meredith the most famous cat in the world? Yes or no? Have people vote
on
it.
In the world? Probably
no,
yes.
I think there should be choices. There should be like Garfield and Grumpy Cat and...
Well, but Garfield's not a real cat.
Oh, is this only real cats we're talking about?
I don't know. I just made this up right now. There is no detail to it.
Okay.
We don't have a plan yet, but we will soon.
Rough draft of a plan is only starting on the show.
This next one comes from AshleySwift13, and she says, you know you're a Swiftie when you live in the US, but order a magazine from the Philippines just to see Taylor's new ad.
Yes!
That is dedication.
Do you know what ad it is? Trivia question for you guys.
Wonderstruck Enchanted?
It could be. What I think it might be referring to, though, is a Keds ad that appeared in Cosmopolitan in the Philippines.
Oh, is it the one where she's wearing white shoes?
Yeah.
And the skirt? Okay. Is it that one?
I think so.
Oh,
I remember
seen
what
it.
She was wearing, but she's holding a guitar and whatnot. It's a Keds ad, though. At least I think that's what she's referring to.
Well, Ashley, let us know. The next one, it comes from Riley via text message. If Swifties ruled the world, Real Fortune would be called Wheel of Tay, and Swifties would compete on how much they know about Taylor.
I like that plan. Let's
Taylor trivia contest.
Let's do it.
You know what? We should do that on Taylor Talk. I want to put Belle up against Haley.
Ooh.
Who votes we do that next episode?
I think we should do that like every episode and just have like a mini segment about Taylor trivia.
Kind of like that
yes,
plan.
Yes, maybe.
I like
it. So it could be
we're gonna
like,
have to work this out.
Yeah, so it could be like Haley versus Belle, and then like me versus Maya, and then just switch around and Adam.
Just switch it.
Adam could be in there somewhere doing something.
I'll be the moderator.
Yeah.
He can be the host.
The hostess with mostess. I'll be like, welcome to Swifty. What is it going to be called?
Wheel of Taylor.
Welcome to Wheel of Taylor, starring your host, Adam. That's me. Our contestants today are Belle and Haley. The first question goes to Belle. Belle, what is Taylor Swift's birthday?
December 13th, 1989.
Woo! Good
that
Belle.
Is correct. Haley, what is Taylor Swift's astrological sign?
Sagittarius.
Yay, you two both win. Okay, let's move on with the episode.
Wait, I want my cookie.
You don't get a cookie. Who doesn't know Taylor's birthday?
So I still want a cookie. I don't even eat cookies. What am I talking about?
Harder question to come later. All right, last submission for this episode is from Anna, who texted us and said, you know you're a Swiftie when you're in math class and you're learning the concept of slope, and throughout the whole lesson, Treacherous is playing through your head.
yeah,
well,
I can see how that can happen.
Why don't we make this a more difficult trivia question, since Anna brought it up? Belle, Haley, Diane. $1 prize. Ooh, $1 grand prize goes to the person who can answer this question.
Okay. Go.
When given 2 points on a coordinate plane,
oh.
What is
I'm out.
The formula to find the slope
Wait,
of
two
the
points?
Line that connects
oh,
those
me.
2 points?
Y equals MX plus B.
That is incorrect.
Really?
What you're naming is actually slope-intercept form. That's when you're given the equation of a line.
Oh.
And in that equation,
oh,
M
oh,
is the slope.
Oh, wait.
So
it's
what I'm
like,
looking for here is M equals something.
Y2 minus Y1 over X2 minus X1?
That is correct! Yes. You win $1!
I got it right on the
I'm
second try.
I'm gonna go to my corner now.
Oh, math.
What? Belle? What do you need that in real life anyways? Really, Adam?
I actually needed it at work all last week.
What do you do?
I'm a teacher.
Well, see, you're a teacher. You need to know that. In real life.
What do you mean in real life? That's my job. That's my living. That's my profession.
So pretty much.
My profession is Target. When do I need it at Target?
When you work your way up to corporate and you're building a new Target store and you're overseeing the architecture.
Adam, just stop. Fail.
What? Architects need geometry.
I don't think she's going to be an architect.
Nope.
She could be.
It was the moment I knew.
Whoa.
Oh, we're doing some good puns today, but at least we got one on the recording.
Yeah, so I hope we made everybody laugh enough during the first few minutes of this episode, because we're about to rip your hearts out.
Oh, God.
You guys ready for this?
It's not going to be very fun.
I'm going to cry, I guess.
I think we all need to take a deep breath together. Ready? In.
Okay, enough breathing. We're going to discuss The Moment I Knew, which, as we mentioned during the news segment, just got released on iTunes for purchase. And being a news item, we felt it newsworthy and discussion-worthy. So here we go. Belle.
Can I breathe now?
Yes.
Yeah, yes, breathe. You can breathe.
So, Belle, okay. Do what? I need to put some headphones on you that say, breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out. So, Belle, what do you think the song is about? It's pretty obvious.
Well, I think the title's a little bit self-explanatory, but basically it's like you're holding on to something by a thread. You know that everything is just completely falling to pieces, but you still want it. You still want to hold on to some kind of hope that you can somehow fix it and it'll somehow be okay. And you're just like, if this one thing happens, it's going to be okay. If this one thing goes right, things are going to be okay. And you're just like rationalizing it in your mind. And then that one thing doesn't happen. And that's the moment you know that it's unrepairable.
That was deep, Belle.
Oh, that's just the short version, honey.
Oh, let's try and keep it light before we make everybody cry.
I can't keep it light with this song, I'm sorry.
Oh, are you crying yet?
Not yet, but I'm like emotional.
Getting there.
I'm sorry. I've been having, like...
Virtual hug.
I've been having a tough emotional week, and so this is, like, pulling on my heartstring right now.
Mm. Well, so what moment do you think Taylor's talking about in this song?
Well, she explains it in the song. Like, the song's very literal in that sense. She just says it's about someone not showing up to her birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Who is it?
Brokeback.
A boyfriend, now ex-boyfriend?
Well, I would hope he's now an ex after this.
I'm pretty sure. Because I think the moment that Taylor was talking about in this song was the moment that she knew that their relationship wasn't going to work out.
Who doesn't show up to a birthday? Seriously.
And
especially such a memorable one.
Yes, because...
being 21.
Yeah, it was her 21st birthday. That's a big deal.
That's what I think is so incredibly sad, because we're all over 21. How many of us remember our 21st birthday kind of like more than other birthdays?
Or don't remember it because it's your 21st birthday.
That too, but...
I half remember mine.
I mean, I can tell you exactly what I did on my 21st birthday, more or less, up to a point. But I can't really tell you what I did on, like, any other given birthday. Do you know what I mean? Like, your 21st birthday is a milestone. It's important. It matters. And for somebody to ditch you on your 21st birthday, they're leaving you with this horrible scar of a memory. And they should just be shot.
Well, I don't think we need to go that far. But...
Hold you, I was emotional.
Right. So... this person, whoever it was, I'm not going to name names, left Taylor with this awful memory about her 21st birthday. So now when she thinks about her 21st birthday, she's going to think about how she was abandoned and left alone and was crying in her bathroom.
Ooh! Ooh! Do you think perhaps this experience has anything to do with the song 22? Because maybe she was at a point she's like, I'm sick of being 21.
It's possible.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you can do a great comparison between this song and 22 because they're such polar opposites. Like, this was her awful birthday, and then 22 was her, you know, amazing great summer with her friends.
Well, I think also it's like when she turns 21 and then the next, she said that she couldn't even write for 6 months. So the first half of her 21st year wasn't necessarily happy for her. And then you're looking at, you know, like the song 22, and she's like, you know, I've got through that. And then I realized I just want to have a good time with my friends. So, like, I feel like 22 is sort of like an unofficial sequel to this. Because it's like, she finally made it through that painful part, and at least was able to enjoy being with her friends.
Sure. All right, so let's dig deeper into the lyrics. Like, what do you guys think of the lyrics?
I love them. They paint such a clear picture of, like, what happened to Taylor this night moment by moment.
You stole the words out of my mouth.
Good.
That's exactly as I was thinking. Like, it tells the story, and it's so passionate. And something interesting I found about it is it's not quite as metaphorical as some of her other songs. It's a little bit more literal.
Yeah.
Does anyone else see that?
I'm trying to think if I can find a metaphor in this song. Yeah, I'm not... Well, the only
she talks about exactly what is happening. She's talking about trying to run away to the bathroom and her friends noticing and the tears streaming down her face. And like, it paints such a picture. Like, I swear, I just want to like kick this guy's
butt.
Booty?
I second that.
I want to kick this guy's butt. Seriously. Like, I feel in her shoes. Like, I feel her pain. I feel like I want to destroy this guy. Like, literally rip his head off.
Yeah,
because she's like, you should have been there. You should have burst through that door with the baby I'm right here smile.
Yeah, and in the next line, I just found the only metaphor she has in the song, which is, it would have felt like a million little shining stars that just aligned. And I think that's so telling that the only metaphor in this song is something that would be happy, because the reality is awful. Like, she's left alone at her birthday party, and the only thing that she can think of is how amazing this could have been. And I think that's really sad. Belle, are you crying?
It's such a...
No.
No.
Somebody pat Belle on the back.
Oh.
Maybe.
We need a breather.
No. Continue.
So, I wonder why Taylor is very literal with sadness and metaphorical with happiness.
I think it's because, I mean, this is just me, and I don't know if she's the same, obviously, but I feel like when you're happy, you don't necessarily feel the need to find words to express it. Like, the feeling is your expression. But when you're sad or hurt or let down or lonely or, like, all of these negative emotions, in order to, like, vent them out and stuff, you need to find the words that fit them perfectly. I feel like words are more important in negative emotions than in positive ones.
I see what you're saying.
I mean, I don't know if she's the same, but that's just, like, how I am, so that's just my guess.
Mm-hmm. Are you sniffling still?
Yes.
Keep it together, pal.
That's not happening.
So, Haley, do you have any favorite lyrics from the song, perhaps?
My favorite lyric is the where it says, "The Christmas lights glisten, I've got my eye on the door, just waiting for you to walk in." This, that part, but out of that whole thing, the time is ticking and people ask me how I've been as I comb back through my memory, how you said you'd be here, you said you'd be here. It just shows how much that's going on around her, but all she can go back to is all the times that they talked and how many times he reassured her that he was going to be there. But he's not. So even though she's still engaging in conversations and everything, she's in a completely other world.
I can so incredibly, unfortunately, identify with that situation. And it's really hard because I'm sure that we've all, you know, been in positions where it's not been us or the ones that are sad and hurting. It's our friends. And, you know, we're trying really hard to do things to cheer them up, to distract them, to, you know, be there for them. And it's like, no matter how hard we're trying to, like, be a good friend, you know that you're not the one that can make them better. You're not the one that can fix the situation. And you're just watching them, like, you know, yeah, okay, maybe they were a good sport and they came with you. They're like, okay, no, you know what, let's go out to dinner. Let's go out dancing. Let's go out whatever, like, to try and get their mind off. But you just watch them, and all they're doing is just sitting there wishing that they were anywhere else but there. And then I've been in a position where I've been that person, too, where it's just, like, people are trying to engage me and trying to cheer me up, and I just can't even smile. And it's a really awkward place to be because it's like you don't want to feel ungrateful for the fact that people obviously care about you and they're trying, but you're going through something and you can't just shut that off.
Exactly.
And adding to your favorite lyric, Haley, I think, do you know what else kind of ties into that and helps bring things kind of full circle, I think, is right in the chorus when she says it was like slow motion. Because you can picture that in your head. Like, she's just sort of standing there, and everything is going on around her. And she's lost in her thoughts. And I think the lyrics you've chosen and those lyrics tie in together. They go very well together.
The way she says slow motion bothers me, though.
What do you mean?
Just the way she says it.
Well, she says it
in slow motion. It took me forever. Yeah, it took me forever to, you know, understand what she was saying. And I still, even though I know what she's saying, it's hard for me to sing it like she does.
I don't know. I guess it jumped out at me because I can picture that situation where everything around you is like moving in slow motion because you're like lost in your thoughts.
Like I like the lyric. It just bothers me.
Fine, Haley. We'll like tell it? Taylor you said so and you'll never get that hug.
Ooh.
Bringing out fighting words.
I'm never gonna be there.
Diane, what about you? What lyrics jump out at you?
The line right after slow motion. Standing there in my party dress and red lipstick with no one to impress, because I think that's a really, you know, that line stands out to me because, like, when I'm trying to get ready for a date or I'm going to see, you know, someone that I like and whatnot, I imagine what he's going to think about my outfit and my hair and whatnot. And then so she worked so hard to make this guy think she's pretty and he's not even there. So it's like all that time was wasted.
You're able to relate to that you like that lyric because you're able to relate to it is what you're saying.
Yeah.
I can't say I've ever dressed to impress.
Oops.
Oh, come on, you must have.
Okay, maybe, you know, this one time, and, you know.
All right, Adam, what's your favorite lyric?
Oh, me? Ooh, me, pick me.
Adam.
We did.
Okay, nice. Adam.
Okay. The lyric that kind of jumped out on me is one towards the end where she says, And what do you do when the one who means the most to you is the one who didn't show?
That's a lyric that made me cry.
You cry
in front of me right before that. That makes me absolutely burst into tears.
Well, I like that lyric a lot because I feel like it sums up the entire, like, essence of the song. It's talking about being lonely, and you have, like we were discussing with the slow motion thing, everything going around you, but it doesn't matter because the one person you wanted there isn't.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing else in the world matters except for the fact that that person abandoned you when you needed them. But Belle, if you're cool and collected, are you crying right now? Are you okay?
I'm okay.
Okay, so do you want to talk about that lyric before? The one you were just mentioning?
It says, "What do you do when tears are streaming down your face in front of everyone you know?" That just gets me because, like, I've been through this really horrible breakup, like, really viciously horrible breakup where it took me weeks to stop crying, and I would cry at the most inappropriate times in the most inappropriate places. Like, I was, like, literally a mess. And it's, like, it's awkward and embarrassing when you're just sitting there, like, you know, in public, surrounded by people, and something reminds you of that person or the situation you're going through, and you literally just start crying, and you're, like, wiping your eyes, but you're, like, in this awkward place in public, and you know that you're not, this is not, like, okay to just be standing there crying, but you can't help it. And, like, I feel like her 21st birthday, she's with, you know, a bunch of her friends, and, you know, I'm sure people made an effort to make it nice for her and everything, and it's like, but she's sitting there crying, and she can't help it, because the whole world is crumbling, and...
Finish. I just thought of something, though.
You know, that right there, just... I feel like she just took that entire experience out of my head and put it into her words, even though I know that's also her experience. But that just absolutely gets me every time. Like, I literally cannot listen to the song without crying. So I've only listened to it, like, a handful of times because it's just very emotional.
I think it's everyone's, like, human instinct to try to be strong in front of people, especially in front of people you know. So if they know that something is going on, you want to appear strong. But when you start crying, it's just, there's nothing you can do. And it's just, like, ripping your barriers down and showing everyone what's going on. And it's just really hard to you when that happens.
Well, what I was thinking that Belle reminded me of is when she mentioned, she's like, other people probably tried to make it a great night for her. And it occurred to me how many people probably did do that, which makes this guy even more of a scumbag to ruin that. Because it's not just ruining it for Taylor, which it's mainly Taylor, because it's her birthday, it's her party, she's the center of attention. But that affects everybody. I want to punch this guy in the face. Is that okay with anyone?
Absolutely.
That's fine. Do it.
I will help you.
You'll help
me? Two fists are better than one.
Oh, jeez. I'm going to get in trouble.
Two is better than one.
Yeah, right? That's exactly where I was going to go with that, actually, Adam. Thank you.
More Taylor puns. A lyric that kind of confuses me a little bit, confuses me slightly, is when Taylor says, "They're all laughing and asking me all about you, but there's one thing missing." Obviously, the thing missing being him.
Mm-hmm.
If everybody's laughing and asking about him, like, don't they notice he's not there? Is that what they're asking about? Like, oh, where is he?
No, I think they're saying they're laughing, like they're having fun. And then, you know, later they're like, oh, hey, how are you and this person? Or are they coming and stuff? But they're, you know, the only thing that's missing in the whole thing is him actually being there.
Oh, I see. That thank you, Haley. That actually cleared it up a lot. It just struck me, and I'm a complete dum-dum for not saying what it meant. Oh, Haley, where would I be without you?
I think it's so difficult to be in a position where you know that people know that you're with that person, and then there's people that know you even better that know that you're having problems with this person. And then when you're sitting there so nervous about that person showing up, and people are going, oh, hey, is he coming? It just, like, makes it even, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it mm-hmm. makes it yeah. so much worse for you.
Especially when you're like, yeah, they said he'll be here. Like, he's like, oh, yeah, he said he's coming. Oh, yeah, he said he's coming.
Yeah, exactly. And you're like, well, he said he was going to come, and then, like, time keeps going by, and people are like, oh, he's not here yet? Thank you, Captain Obvious. I realized that.
Yeah, and that must have been so embarrassing for her to have to tell people, like, well, he said he was going to come. And then they're, you know, they're probably just like, oh, okay, I hope he'll be here, whatnot.
I also love the line right before the ending, because I feel like that's something that I commend her for saying what she said. Because I don't think
Which
that
lyric,
I, You called me later and said, I'm sorry I didn't make it. And I said, I'm sorry too.
Very powerful.
Very powerful. And I really commend her for saying that because it's incredibly honest. It's not like, oh, it's okay. It's not okay.
Yeah. No, it's really not okay to not show up to your birthday.
No, and you know, saying sorry, it's not okay. Your response, you know, she said, I'm sorry you didn't too. Like, you know, I love her for saying that. I think that's really very honest and very what she should have said. I think a lot of people would have just tried to be like, well, that's all right, but it's not.
And I think it kind of adds closure to the story, because I think the story is all about the moment she knew this person was not the right person.
Exactly.
And that's the moment where she closes it. She says, I'm sorry too. And it's really saying it's over without actually saying it's over. So that's a really powerful point in the song.
Right. And
it definitely closes it.
Yeah. And going off of that, I think the ending is really powerful in another way, because you don't know that it's her birthday until the very end of the song. You know, when she says they're all sitting around me singing happy birthday to you. So, and then, like, for me at least, it was that moment when I realized, like, how horrible this was of this guy to not show up, and how almost not really rude, but just strange of her friends to still sing to her happy birthday, because she's obviously not having a happy birthday. You know, it's like inappropriate.
It's just awkward.
But it could have been at a point in the night where he still had a chance of showing up.
It's possible.
Okay, like, I think, like, the placement in the song is for the effect on the song.
If they've already sang happy birthday to her, like, he missed that moment. And that, therefore, it doesn't matter if you show up after that. Like he didn't show up when he was supposed to. He missed, like...
He missed, like, the dinner. He missed the cake.
He missed I'm looking for a word here. Help me.
The conclusion of the party, almost?
Yeah, kind of. Like, that...
The high point of the party?
It's a word similar to climax, maybe.
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking for. I knew it wasn't conclusion. It was something near conclusion, but I'm sorry, my brain isn't working very well. I'm still sniffly.
That's okay, Belle. We forgive you.
Like I said, I'm just really emotional tonight.
Yeah. No, you know, this song... I don't know, like, maybe there's a...
moment.
Well, we all know there's a very fundamental difference between males and females. And... from your perspective, all of you, you feel very sad, right?
Yeah.
When I listen to this song and I read the lyrics, I feel very angry. Like, as a guy, I'm like, how can this guy be that scummy?
Gives all the other guys a bad name.
Well, I don't know about all the other guys, but I just feel very, like, angry when I listen to it. I mean, you've heard it throughout the show. I want to punch this guy. Like, that's... Maybe it's just a male thing. Like, maybe I feel like this natural instinct to defend Taylor.
It's probably because when girls listen to this song, at least for me, I end up relating with Taylor, and you can't really do that, Adam, because you're not a girl.
Yeah.
So the only other, like, character in this song that is a male is the guy that didn't show up to her party, and you're angry at him.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That could be it.
Yeah, because the song just makes me cry, because I know exactly the feeling that she's describing, and it is a horrible feeling, and it's scarring.
All right, so what about the music? I don't know if there's a whole lot to discuss with the music, because, I mean, the music's like everything else on the album, in that it fits the emotion of the song. Does anyone disagree with that?
No. It's very beautiful.
It's hauntingly beautiful.
Right, and it fits the emotion of the song. So does anyone want to... comment on the music at all?
Well,
is this opportunity
in the chorus when she says, and it was like slow motion, I believe these strings start to play in the background, and they're very repetitive. So to me, when I hear that, I think of like a movie or a moment that happens in slow motion, because like nothing is really going on musically, and then nothing's really going on like in that moment for Taylor, because her boyfriend's not there. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of where there's like almost like a direct correlation.
So basically, because you're Diane, when you say you're thinking of a movie, you're thinking of the Titanic sinking and those four guys playing their violins,
oh
right?
Oh my god, don't do this to
what?
You're way off.
What about the mom reading the little kids a story when the water
stop it, now I'm gonna cry for another reason. I'm gonna join Belle and need a tissue.
I really like the music because it's really, you know, just slow and almost like she's kind of talking until you get to the chorus, and it just gets louder and a little bit more fast-paced, and it goes back to being slow again.
Okay, yeah, no, I see that. So, the million-dollar question, is it going to be included on the Red Tour?
I don't know, because I don't know how... It's kind of like the theory of Last Kiss. She sang it on every tour, but she couldn't really do it without crying. So
Maybe it'll be one of those songs like she did with the song Ours, where it wasn't an original part of the set list, and she would throw it in. She might throw it in, but...
I don't know. I just feel like it would definitely be difficult for her to have to take herself to this place every single night. Like... I mean, she's a strong person, but I'm just thinking about that, and I'm like, I don't know if I would really want to go this dark every night on tour. I feel like, because with Taylor, you know that she has said, and we've also seen it with her, is she takes herself back to the place of each song, and she does it very well. But to have to be willing to take yourself back to this place for how many tour stops every night? Like, I don't know. That would be really emotionally taxing.
And it might not be on the Red Tour, and that's maybe why she put it on the Deluxe, is because she liked it and wanted us to hear it and everything, but it wasn't something she wanted to sing all the time, so that's why it wasn't on the original.
Possibly.
But then again, since Taylor just released it as a single on iTunes, I don't know why she would release it if she didn't plan on... promoting that song in the future, you know, like letting more people hear it, because otherwise she's not going to make sales for the single. Yeah,
that's exactly what I was going to say, Diana, is that's what baffles me. That's like the little, what do they call it, like the monkey wrench, that like throws off our entire thought process, is the fact that it was just released on iTunes. Why that? Why not any of the other deluxe songs?
Maybe because this one is the most personal and powerful one, and she wanted us to... Here's why. Here's my theory on that. Because the entire album, I mean, not every single song, but like she has said, and we have all heard about how this album, you know, is the beginning of the start and the beginning of a relationship, right? Well,
the end. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sorry. The start and the end.
The start and the beginning.
The end. The beginning and the end. That's where I was going with that. Of a relationship. And so I think like maybe this song sort of... It's sort of the final punch in the gut. Does that make any sense? It's like she takes you through a lot of different emotional places in a relationship with the album, with the main album. But I feel like this song sort of is like the final and most personal punch in the gut of that relationship. It's like saying, I'm giving you all these clues, all these hints, all these like experiences, and this one is the one that hurts the absolute most. And I wanted to like maybe be feel like in a comfort zone of letting out the original album before letting out this final, most personal, most hard-hitting, most gut-wrenching.
So, Belle, let me ask you this. On a scale of 1 to 13, what do you give this song?
13 tears.
Oh.
On her guitar.
On my guitar. 13 teardrops on my guitar.
Haley?
13.
And Diane?
13.
Adam? Oh, that's me.
We keep doing that. Do we need to, like, going, Adam, that's me? Do we need to, like, put you in front of a mirror and make sure that you're familiar with yourself?
I think Adam needs a name tag, so he doesn't.
He doesn't need a name tag.
Hey, my mom never included my name on my underwear as a child.
Uh-oh.
Sad day.
Well, did they get stolen?
No.
Did they get confused with your sister's underwear?
What?
Well, because that's the only reason you would need your name on your underwear so we wouldn't get confused with somebody else's.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like when brothers?
I don't have any brothers.
Because you don't want to wear your brother's underwear.
Ew. I don't have a brother, though.
Exactly.
You don't want to wear your sister's underwear.
Hence why the no name on the underwear. Bring it back.
How did we get into a discussion about names on underwear? Well, what is it?
Because Adam didn't know what his name was.
So, 1 to 13, I have two different opinions on this. I have my 1 to 13 scale of how I rank it as a well-done song. It was written well, the music was fantastic, and on that aspect, I give it a 13. But in terms of something I'm going to listen to in my car and listen to regularly, it's probably lower. I don't know what to say. Probably like a 4 or 5, because I'm not going to listen to this on repeat
You listen to it when you're set, basically.
I mean, to be honest, I just listened to it for the first time in several months before we recorded this episode.
Here's what this song is. This is the song that whenever we're having, like, females are having a bad or sad day, we're gonna turn off all the lights, light some candles, play this song, and cry. That's what this song is for. This is like Evanescence's My Immortal. Oh my gosh, I could not handle that song. Could not handle that song. I feel the same way about this one. It's like, it's that gut-wrenching.
Alright, everyone, so you can put your tissue boxes away now. And we're moving on to our next mini-segment, which is What Would Taylor Do? And this Woo! Week, BounceRuby2013 on Twitter asked, what would Taylor do if Taylor was locked in an elevator and the elevator music was Gangnam Style on repeat? Oh my gosh!
I think Taylor would first ask Gangnam if she was on the movie Saw.
What?
I mean, that is definitely a torture format.
Okay, but...
That is pretty torturous.
I think... Okay, you know how Taylor always dances and has a great time, you know, at concerts and award shows and whatnot to any type of music that they're playing? I think for, mm-hmm. like, the first couple times that song was played, she would actually dance and have a good time. And then after a while, she would just be like, okay, I'm done now.
It's over.
Yeah.
Okay, it was fun while it lasted, but I'm done.
So, Gangnam Style is from what country? Can someone refresh my memory?
Korea.
I think it's a K-pop song. Yeah, Korea.
Korea. So... this is my idea of what Taylor would do, is Gangnam Style would be on repeat, eventually she would be rescued, only to discover that she no longer speaks English and she only speaks Korean.
And the only word of English she knows is, hey, sexy lady.
Hey, sexy lady.
She'll just start, she'll be like, oh my gosh, I only know Korean. But in Korean.
I was just going to say, Adam, that's still English.
I don't speak Korean, Belle. So what do you guys think Taylor would do?
I think she would be a good sport for, like, the first time or two, and then she would just kind of, like, start poking buttons on the, you know, pushing buttons and be like, hello? Is anybody? Hello? I'm stuck! And then if nobody rescued her and I continue, she'd just curl up in the corner and, like, you know, curl up in a little ball and cover her ears and start shaking.
Oh.
Oh, wait, that's me.
She would definitely have it in her head for a long time afterwards. And maybe know all the words by now.
She would probably not want to hear that song ever again.
Yeah.
Like ever.
Like ever.
I never want to hear it. Anyway.
Buns. Like ever.
So, because Swifties are not listening to Gangnam Style, hopefully, Diane, why don't you tell us what they have been listening to lately?
Well, this week, we didn't have a submission, but... there is a song that a lot of Swifties have been listening to this week, and it's called I'm Alright, and it was sung by @JerseyGreen13 on Twitter. And she wrote this song about Taylor and Harry's alleged recent breakup. So it's pretty much like the Taylor Swift breakup song that she herself didn't write. And I like it.
It amazes me how many people fell for that and thought it was actually Taylor, because that girl sounds very close.
Yeah, people were like, I saw that all over my timeline. People were freaking out, and they're like, oh my god, that's Taylor! What's the song coming from? I'm like, no, that's not Taylor, honey.
Yeah, I listened to it for the first time, I believe, like, last Wednesday or something, and for the first couple notes, I was like, oh, maybe it is Taylor. But then she said hodl instead of hotel, and then I knew, okay, Taylor doesn't say hodl. I love this song. I think it was written really well. I like how she made up, like, different... specific moments that could have been about their relationship, like Harry singing Stevie Wonder songs to Taylor. I thought that was a great touch.
It's very well written. I thought it was...
Mm-hmm.
That's a very nice song. She did a very good job.
Thumbs up to you, JerseyGreen13 on Twitter. Does anyone know what her name is?
I do not.
We should have her on the show.
That would be a good idea. If she's following anyone, I know she's following a handful of people. Even if she's not following you, go tweet her @JerseyGreen13 and bug her until she agrees to come on Taylor Talk.
We want to know the story and how she decided to come up with it.
Yeah, we're curious.
Yeah, it was genius. This is going to do wonders for her music career.
Totes.
Totes?
Totes. I said that.
Really, Adam?
Is that a problem?
Really? Yeah.
You want to fight about it?
I do have a problem with that. Yeah. Let's go.
Bring it.
I'll throw you in at my 90-degree weather.
Bring
go.
It. Oh, it's already been brought in.
Is Broughton a word?
How about you? You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Or did that just go over your heads?
Is it Bring It On or Bring It On 2?
It's like from like one of those like mocking movies, like mocking Bring It On. It's like not another teen movie or something. They're like making fun of Bring It On, and one of the chicks is like, "You bet, bring it," and the other one's like, "Oh, it's already been brought in."
Okay, Belle.
It's funnier if you've seen it. Now I feel all dumb. Thanks a lot.
Well, that's it for episode 46. We hope you enjoyed it. Remember, keep submitting to the mini segments. You have a lot of ways to reach us. You can email us, taylortalk@taylorswift13.org. You can tweet us at taylortalk13. You can hit us up on Facebook, taylortalk13. Or Taylor Connect, also taylortalk13. Or our favorite way.
Favoritist isn't a word either.
Favoritist.
Most favorite.
It's my favorite word ever.
Well, either way, it's our favorite way if you either voicemail or send us a text message. You can do either of those to area code 240-31-SWIFT, or you can go on the website and leave us a voicemail directly on taylortalk.org. So get those mini-segment submissions in, and we will talk to you all next week. For episode 46, this has been Adam.
Belle.
Diane.
And Haley.
Saying have a great week, guys. Bye-bye.
Virtual fan arts. I'm sorry for crying.
Bye.
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 We are in no way directly affiliated with Taylor Swift.